This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
Another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day and a great season. It is the approaching the very end of the Hanukkah holiday, and of course the very height of the Christmas season. Remember the war on Christmas? President Trump declared victory, rightly I think, on the war on Christmas. Yes, there was a war on Christmas, and Christmas won. Christmas endured. Christmas is beloved. Well, the Freedom From Religion Foundation says the war on Christmas is back on. Why? And how do they intend to win this time? We'll be speaking to people from the Freedom From Religion Foundation coming up on the Michael Medved Show. We'll also be talking about a truly significant change that I think says volumes on how much America has changed, and changed for the better in some ways. And it's a change regarding baseball and what people used to call the Negro Leagues. Do we have Negro Leagues anymore? No, we have baseball. And it doesn't matter what color you are, what your national origins are. If you're good at baseball, you get to play in the major leagues. So what changed and what does that signify? We'll be speaking about that with Michael Eric Dyson. Now, he's a Baptist pastor, but does he really stand by an analogy that he makes in his book between George Floyd and Jesus? We will get to that on the Michael Medved Show. Also, the very latest from the almost comical, it would be comical if it weren't so sad, situation in Seattle with Cal Anderson Park and the desire to actually clean up from a disastrous homeless encampment that has been there since before June. And what's happening with that? We will bring you the very latest. The very latest from Capitol Hill is positive, and it's positive in almost every regard. President-elect Biden has just indicated that he is going to select Deborah Holland, who is a member of the House of Representatives from New Mexico. He's going to select her to be his Interior Secretary, and she is Native American. She is a registered tribal member, and she would be the first Secretary of Interior who's Native American. Now, why is that significant? Because it's the Interior Department that traditionally has dealt with Indian reservations, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and other aspects of the federal government having to do with Native Americans. Now, what does this mean for Republicans? What it means is that with other members of the House, Democratic members, signing on to join the Biden administration, people like Cedric Richmond, who's going to be a White House advisor, we're talking about an almost evenly divided House of Representatives. I mean, it is shockingly close. The Democrats need 218 seats to hold a majority in the House. Right now, they are assured of only 222. That's a margin of 4 seats. That means a switch of 3 seats, frankly. A rich switch of 3 seats gives the Republicans command. And there are a number of open seats, and there are going to be a number of special elections coming up. All of this is very significant, and it's occurring at a time and helps to explain why we are moving forward and moving forward positively toward that coronavirus relief bill, the one that everybody has been working on. They have to get it done by tomorrow night, believe it or not, they do. Dow Jones is up 127 points, again, well above that 30,000 Dow number. Good news from the markets. And Dick Durbin, the Democratic leader, he is actually the whip for the Democrats, number two guy to Chuck Schumer. He was on the Senate floor, And part of what is going on now with reaching agreement on this coronavirus relief bill has to do with maybe just a pulling back on some of the toxic partisanship that has infected the country in the last couple of years. Here's Dick Durbin with some surprisingly positive words about the Trump administration. Clip one.
The Warp Speed Project appears to be a dramatic success, and I pray that it will be. Although I've been a frequent critic of this administration, I want to give them credit for organizing this effectively and delivering a vaccine in a timely way, almost amazing timely way, in this pandemic that we face. I thank all who were involved in it, especially the scientists and researchers who didn't give up until they found these vaccines.
Okay, good for him. It's very appropriate. And by the way, the more that Biden talks like that, the better it will be for him. And who knows? It could even lead to President Trump, if he realizes that he would be honored and would be praised for the achievement of warp speed, maybe even for other achievements. If he attends the inauguration, maybe it could actually help to bring the country together. There's also optimism expressed on the Senate floor by Rob Portman, who is a senior Republican senator from Ohio. Last time when he won re-election, and that was back in 2016. He's up again in 2022. Rob Portman won by 22 points. And President Trump carried Ohio this year by 8 points. Rob Portman's cruising toward re-election. But he expressed appropriate optimism about getting this COVID relief bill done in the next few days. They need to get it done by a Friday night at midnight in order to avoid a government shutdown. Here's what Senator Portman said, clip three.
But I think we'll finish up on Saturday. It means we'll probably do something short term on Friday night to deal with the continuing resolution for government shutdown. But I think we'll get it done this weekend. And we should. You know, it's been 9 months since we passed the CARES package. People are hurting.
Okay, this is appropriate and this is encouraging. You have a bipartisan agreement on getting this done. And in fact, the president-elect himself said that getting the stimulus is an important step. He's all for it. Listen to President-elect Biden, clip four.
Stimulus package is encouraging. It looks like they're very, very close, and it looks like there's going to be direct cash payments, but it's a down payment, an important down payment on what's going to have to be done beginning at the end of January into February, but it's very important to get done. I compliment on the bipartisan group on working together to get it done.
Okay, and look, he's also in agreement with Mitch McConnell. Yesterday, Mitch McConnell had a private call with Republicans. Of course, information about that call has been leaked. But the Senate Majority Leader said that delivering the coronavirus stimulus package could bolster the party's hopes of hanging on to its majority in the Senate. That, according to three people who relayed his comments on the condition of anonymity. McConnell said that Senators Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue were getting hammered for Congress's failure to deliver more pandemic aid to struggling Americans, particularly the direct payments, and that enacting the measure could help them. The majority leader also emphasized the package could be signed by Trump, who has pushed for another round of stimulus checks. Now, all of this is positive. And yes, I think that McConnell is right. It could help in Georgia. But what it seems to me is the fact that, Trump is still president, but that Biden is appointing people and reducing the margin, which is already narrow, for the Democrats in the House, is that Biden seems to be indicating he's comfortable with divided government. That's encouraging on many levels. Is it encouraging to actually compare victims of police violence to sacred religious figures? We'll get to that and more with Dr. Michael Eric Dyson coming up on the MedVed Show. On the MedVed Show, we like to call attention to numbers, statistics that are optimistic about our country. Well, here's one that's not so optimistic, but it's very, very real. There are now 100 million Americans who suffer from ongoing pain due to aging, exercise, overexertion. Now, Relief Factor can help, particularly with the exercise-related pain or the general muscle aches and pains that many of us experience. I use Relief Factor myself, and I'm proud to do so because this is a great natural product with no medicines or drugs, no addictive qualities at all. Click on the banner at our website at michaelmedved.com for Relief Factor. Order that quick start. Get thanked by listeners for this all the time. I hope you become one of those thankful listeners too. Call 833-654-PAIN. It's toll free. 833-654-PAIN. Or go to the website michaelmedved.com and click on the big banner for Relief Factor.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and when I invented my pillow, I wanted it to have everything you'd ever want in a pillow. You can adjust the patented fill to your exact individual needs. You can wash and dry my pillow. It has a 10-year warranty not to go flat, and it's made in the USA. And now, for a limited time, you can get a queen-size premium my pillow for the lowest price ever. Regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. That's a $40 savings. I'm also giving you deep discounts on all my MyPillow products, including my bed sheets, mattress toppers, and bath towels. Not only are you getting the lowest prices ever, but they make the best Christmas gifts ever. Buy now, and I'll extend my 60-day money-back guarantee to March 1st, 2021.
Call 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MEDVED. Call 800-320-6280. Promo code MEDVED.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
On the Michael Medved Show on this holiday season, there's something extra to celebrate today, and it was to me a little bit unexpected. I think it's important because I think sports is important. And people many times have talked about baseball having to do with the soul of America. Well, this, it seems to me, has to do with the corruption of the soul of America and a corrective in that regard. I want to speak about the decision today to include statistics from the so-called Negro Leagues that flourished for 30 years or more in the United States. I mean, flourished at their high point for 30 years at more. They're compiling these statistics from 1920 to 1948 when baseball was integrated. I want to talk about that with Professor Michael Eric Dyson, who is Distinguished University Professor of African American Diaspora Studies at Vanderbilt University. He's the author of numerous New York Times bestsellers, the most recent, which has been a tremendously successful book, and it's an impactful book that people will be moved to read, a book called Long Time Coming, Reckoning with Race in America. Michael, always glad to speak with you. Have you been following this story about baseball?
Yes, I have been.
And you know what's incredible to me, and the reason I think people should pay attention to it? This goes along with the themes of your book. I think most white Americans have not fully come to terms with what it means that for years and years and years, outstanding athletes who happen to have darker skin shade were not allowed to play in the major leagues. It's just incredible. What was the excuse for that? What was the justification for keeping black people out of baseball?
Well, thank you, first of all, for covering this and always being a fair and judicious arbiter of complicated matters. Well, I think that, you know, obviously baseball itself, as the American sport, it may be hard for young people to imagine now, but you and I know, having grown up when we did, when baseball reigned supreme, and it was the American pastime. And as such, it couldn't but help reflect the apartheid, the separate but equal, the segregation of black life and white life. And as a result of that, baseball itself was an emblem of, a representative of, an avatar of, a symbol of that difference, of that division. And so no matter how much, you know, admiration there may have been for a Jackie Robinson or for a Josh Gibson or a Josh White or Willie Mays, many of the players who played, Satchel Paige, who played in the Negro Leagues, and an appreciation for their talent, it was never questioned that they would not play in the major leagues because that was the preserve of white men, the reserved for sign hung above their teams, white people only. This is why even if people watch the film and don't even read the books about Jackie Robinson, when his own teammates were hostile to him, resisted him being included on their team, racial animus and anti-blackness were so stitched into the culture that an appreciation for the talent of those men had to suffer for all those years they were precluded from participating in Major League Baseball.
It's an amazing story. By the way, I just found out that a major leaguer who's in the Hall of Fame and really one of the great, great players of his era is a guy named Cap Anson, who was not a Southerner. He was from Iowa. And he was actually responsible. Apparently, there were major league players who were black who sort of snuck in. And Cap Anson refused to take the field to play against them. And that is what established that formal color line in the years right after World War One, which is just, it's mind-boggling. Can you imagine a player today saying, "I'm not going to play against this guy because I don't want to compete against another race"? I mean, it's so bizarre. And this also comes at a point, and I think it's something that I know you've written about extensively. The United States Army was segregated. Black people did not serve in white units. They served in separate units until It was President Truman, about the same time Jackie Robinson was breaking the color line in baseball, President Truman integrated the Army, right?
Absolutely. Took that step to challenge the apartheid that was prevailing in the military services. And here's the irony. Dory Miller had been a cook relegated to a subservient position
on Pearl Harbor.
Major ship at Pearl Harbor, and took over as a cook, manned the gun, and shot down enemy planes and saved white soldiers. So black blood was being shed. Black bodies were still at risk, but they just couldn't join together. And you know this story as well. In some foreign theaters where black people were accepted as equals, the white American soldiers fought the black soldiers on foreign soil because they were being treated equally. They were trying to export their particular brand of segregation to a European theater, which was not observing those strict American divisions. So all of these hidden stories are quite intriguing and probably deserve to be spoken about.
Well, they certainly deserve to be spoken about. I mean, one of the things that I was astonished to learn in college long ago is that in George Washington's army, black people did serve alongside white people in fighting for independence. And in fact, one of the things the French were amazed at when they came over here is to see people of color who were fighting alongside everybody else in Washington's army. And they estimate that there were 10%, which is about the same percent of the population, who were black fighting for American independence. Let me ask you this very quickly. What changed in the late 1940s to allow breaking the color line in baseball, breaking the color line in the military? This is before the actual civil rights movement as we know it had gotten going. What changed in America?
That's a great question. And what it underscores very briefly is the fact that black entertainers and black ball players of every stripe, of every, you know, genre of pursuit, whether it's on the gridiron or whether it's on the baseball diamond or the basketball court, were ambassadors for black excellence and therefore ambassadors for black racial justice in the broader society.
Okay, so how do we move into more justice and more openness, more American brotherhood? How do we do that? We'll continue that conversation with the author of the best-selling new book, Long Time Coming, Professor Michael Eric Dyson, coming up.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wrap should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Food and Drug Administration is hinting that Moderna's coronavirus vaccine will get approval quicker than the vaccine from Pfizer. FDA advisors gathering on Thursday to discuss the next vaccine, looking for U.S. distribution and use. Coronavirus Task Force member Dr. Anthony Fauci saying that the FDA could decide before the end of the day. Vice President Mike Pence set to receive the coronavirus vaccine on Friday. Today, the Vice President holding a rally in Columbus, Georgia for Senators David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler.
Where David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler stand for a strong national defense. John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock, they're going to cut our national defense to fund their big government program. You just watch. Where David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler cut taxes, John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock want to raise taxes.
USA Radio News.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Michael Medved Show, my pleasure and honor to have Professor Michael Eric Dyson on the show. He's an old friend of the show, and he is the author of the best-selling new book, Long Time Coming, Reckoning with Race in America. And I wanted to ask you about one portion of your book that I really do want to challenge you on. And that has to do with the letter at the very end, which is the book is written as a sense of letters to various victims. Eric Garner, Breonna Taylor, Hadia Pendleton, Sandra Bland. And at the very end, you have the letter to Sandra Bland under the heading White Comfort. And you actually cite a famous speech by Fannie Lou Hamer. And you cite that speech and give it credit because she tramples on the illusion that white folk worked as hard as black folk. And it just struck me, given the fact that even in the South, where of course the entire economy was largely based on slavery, but that there were, at the same time, there were white sharecroppers, white tenant farmers, who worked and worked and worked, and basically had conditions, yes, of course they weren't enslaved, but to suggest that black people worked harder than white people, historically in America, is that useful or even true?
Well, her argument is, of course, she would never deny the asterisk and the exception assigned to white folk who worked as indentured servants or in the debt peonage of dominant whiteness. But that was not the predominant mindset, the predominant cast of characters, or the predominant form of labor exercised by most white folks. So while we could acknowledge that, of course, she would never deny that white folk work hard and that there were many white folk who were rewarded for their hard work, it's the notion that, by definition, black people would not be acknowledged for their or rewarded for their labor, acknowledged for their incredibly powerful industry and diligence, and that they were routinely exploited in a massive way to undergird and fund American society, build institutions of American culture, provide white people the leisure to remonstrate against so-called ostensibly lazy black folk who were not only the captives of a dominant white culture, but who were literally enslaved. That was her
okay,
point.
Okay, of course, I completely agree with you. Any reasonable person would. The whole stereotype of the lazy black guy, the step and fetch it kind of stereotype, or sleep and eat kind of stereotype, totally offensive, totally wrong, totally destructive. But in the same sense, for a lot of us, my grandfather, Michael, was a barrel maker and never went to high school. I mean, basically worked his whole life until his hands got so bad from the splinters he couldn't do his manual labor anymore. And most of the people listening to us, white people, have parents, grandparents, great-grandparents who have that kind of background. Can you hear that? Suggesting that white people have a tradition of living in comfort, that white privilege includes basically taking it easy while getting other people to do the work for you, that is a destructive stereotype?
Well, that may be if you're talking about white people who actually worked hard and who put in the sweat equity, so to speak, to make things happen. But there were hardworking white people who were also enslaving black people. Working hard wasn't the litmus test for whether or not one deserved to be free or not. So that the hard work of white people could never be denied. The point is...
But it was much more... It was possible to be rewarded, is what you're saying. For the hard work for black people for hundreds of years, it was not rewarded.
It was absolutely right. And on top of that, the tragedy is that hardworking white people often denied the legitimacy of hardworking black people. And as you know, take for instance, if we update this, so many of the unions that are dominated by working class or upwardly mobile white workers who want to be or have participated in such reward system that they are granted access to middle class. Some of the harshest penalties imposed and the greatest resistance offered was from working class and middle class white people who wanted to prevent black people from flourishing, who didn't want them to participate in pipe fitter unions, who didn't want them into concrete layers and, you know, construction workers and the like. So that the intense competition that W.B. Du Bois talked about in 1935 has to be acknowledged. He says those white workers are paid a psychological wage of whiteness, that at least you're not black or indigenous and the like. So again, the major problem is not to talk about or focus on whether or not white people could be acknowledged for being hard workers. There are no stereotypes about, except within certain and specific ethnic groups that overcame them quite quickly when they came from Eastern and Western Europe, right? In the late 1800s, early 1900s,
right.
Jews, Poles, Italians, and Irish arriving in this country, the stereotypes that prevailed. But they had one thing that was critical and singular. They had the possibility of becoming white. Losing the specificity of their ethnic index, indent, and identification for a broader notion of whiteness. The crucible of race pulverized ethnic particularity and made it into what they call a tertium quid, a third thing, a whiteness. And so all of those hardworking ethnics who came to this country through hard work and sweat absorbed one of the stereotypes of America, which is that black people weren't equally hardworking. So the proof is not to say whether or not we can acknowledge white people worked hard.
the greater burden of responsibility is to talk about white brothers and sisters who work hard who can't acknowledge that black brothers and sisters do the same. That's the delicate.
Okay, let me, with the limited time left to us, let me challenge you about one other thing in the book. In the letter that you write to Eric Garner under the subheading Blue Plague, you write beautifully and movingly about the horrifying and criminal death of George Floyd. But you also go to some length to analogize George Floyd with Jesus, even saying there's a parallel between his last words and the last words of Jesus on the cross.
Right.
Can you hear that conflation of victimhood with martyrdom and redemptive martyrdom is difficult? It's difficult for, I think, many people, including many people of color, to accept.
Well, I can understand that, but do remember, when Jesus was crucified, he wasn't Jesus the Christ as he is now. I'm talking ontologically he may have been, but not symbolically. People didn't view him that way. What is this upstart Palestinian Jew talking about? He's delusional. He calls himself the Son of God. He's from common birth. He was born in a manger in the ghetto with dung and balls. He's not of pedigree. So, hey.
Except he's a descendant of King David.
He was George Floyd of his generation, sir. He was without
okay.
Means of support.
George Floyd of his generation, Michael, really? I mean, in other words, that's the problem.
Hold on, don't twist my words. What I'm saying to you is that he was a marginalized, stigmatized human being who bore the brunt of his particular birth as a negative. Herod was out to kill him, searching for the people who were trying to figure out how to protect him. I'm saying, yes, he was assaulted. He was scandalously pursued. He was trying to escape death. He was targeted for his beliefs. So when I say George Floyd, I don't mean individually like whatever.
Right.
George
Can we continue, Michael? Do you have a few minutes to continue?
Sure.
Okay, we will continue with Michael Eric Dyson because this is explosive and important. We'll be right back. Right now, demand for physical precious metals continues strong and supplies are once again getting tight, so our economic problems are not likely to improve anytime soon. And that's what's caused gold and silver to go up in value recently. People are worried, and COVID-19 threatens to stop getting us back on track. Precious metals have always proven themselves in a time of crisis, but you need to choose which ones to buy and when, especially given recent short-term dips in the market. Now, analysts at major banks are forecasting that gold is ready to set new highs in the near term. Over many years, Nick Grovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has proven himself as my go-to expert with smart, educated, responsible recommendations. Nick wants to offer his four decades experience to you. Give the AmFed team a call right now at 800-221-7694 and find out more at AmericanFederal.com. That's 800-221-7694 and AmericanFederal.com. In this great holiday season, maybe you're wondering about what you can buy for a person that has everything. Well, how about donating on that person's behalf to a child who has nothing? Being a third world nation, Uganda was hit particularly hard with COVID-19 and lockdowns. There are literally millions of parents who are looking into a child's eyes and not being able to tell them where the next meal can come from. One of the places it can come from is a great humanitarian organization that I am proud to link with here. It is called Next Generation Ministries, and they are there to help provide food and medical needs, particularly for children and their mothers. Your gift of $10 can feed a hungry child for an entire week. $40 can feed a child for a month. $200 can feed a family of five people for a month. Click on the banner at our website for Next Generation Ministries. This is a great organization. Click on the banner at michaelmedved.com. That's michaelmedved.com.
Attention business owners, body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, Please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town, gather round.
Bing Crosby, a song that has become something of a Christmas classic. And Michael Eric Dyson is our very special guest. He is a distinguished university professor of African American and Diaspora Studies. He also teaches at the Divinity School at Vanderbilt University in Nashville. And Professor Dyson, look, it's foolhardy for me to be speaking with a distinguished pastor and professor of divinity from the Baptist tradition. I'm a Jewish guy, and to be speaking with you about anything involving analogies involving Jesus of Nazareth, it's a little bit foolhardy. But let me just go back to the point that I think is essential in what we were just talking about, is that I have no question that your purpose in writing your book, and the book is called Long Time Coming, it's posted on our website at michaelmedved.com, A Reckoning with Race in America, and it's a triumphant Amazon bestseller. The Michael, with Jesus and the analogy with George Floyd, you would have to admit that George Floyd, what happened to him was terrible, and I know your book is an attempt to make it redemptive. There's no justification for what happened to George Floyd. But up to the time of his death, he had led a life that had self-destructive elements in it, elements of drug use, violent crime, all kinds of difficulty. Jesus of Nazareth had led a life up to the time of his death of inspiration and healing. And therefore, the analogy that you draw in your book, I think, is open to challenge, no?
Oh, absolutely. And look, I'm not trying to establish a one-to-one relationship between the moral trajectory or the ethical arc of Jesus' life and George Floyd in terms of achievement, in terms of status, even in terms of pedigree. What I'm suggesting is that Jesus was treated in the same fashion and manner as the man next to him who died by crucifixion, asphyxiation, in much the same way George Floyd did, who was himself a thief. And yes, Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. God bless you. And, see you soon. What I'm suggesting is that Jesus identifies with those like the George Floyds of the world who have been imperfect and the ones who stand in judgment of them who have been especially imperfect in their self-righteous denunciation of others whose visible sin and whose obvious faults and flaws are the occasion for a certain kind of condemnation, while they themselves exempt themselves from the sort of rigorous scrutiny that should be routine. All my point is here is to say that Jesus, from modest birth, Jesus seen as offensive as George Floyd may have appeared to some people because of the things he did, and we would say, well, those are legitimate skepticisms to have about him. Jesus occasioned the same kind of offense, the same kind of resistance, the same kind of, you know, social stigma that was attached to Mr. Floyd was certainly attached to Jesus, and perhaps even more so. So I'm saying that there is a tremendous ability for those who look toward Jesus, the circumstances of his birth, the arc of his life, and the trauma of his death, to both identify with him and to be absorbed within a narrative that says no matter what your sin, no matter what your flaw, no matter what your hurt or pain or trial or trauma, that there is something redemptive about a life that is surrendered to the power of a God who becomes a human being. So all I'm saying is that Jesus got dissed, Jesus got stigmatized, Jesus was in many ways seen as equally appropriate as a guy who was a thief because he died between two of them on the cross, which indicates to us that the society that judged him saw him in the same manner. That's what I'm arguing for in identification with George Floyd.
If we can move on from that for just a moment, sure. We're at a turning point in our country. I mean, we see it with the advent of these vaccinations, which, God willing, will help to reduce the suffering and dislocation and oppression involved with this pandemic. And we're also about to begin a new administration. If you were advising President-elect Biden about the top priority to help bring reconciliation, deeper understanding, a reckoning with race in America, which is the subtitle of your book, what would you say to the president-elect?
Well, I would say to him, first of all, congratulate him for not being Donald Trump. Don't exacerbate tensions. Don't reinforce differences. And any of the good work that President Trump may have done, and he did some, has been all but scuttled beneath the oppressive weight of his bigotry, his intolerance, and his petulance. So just being a mature adult is an achievement. But in terms of actual practices, I would say to President Biden soon and Vice President Harris that criminal justice is extremely important in African-American communities in how it's, quote, doled out. The disproportionate numbers of black people who are in a criminal justice system under parole, being treated suspiciously or skeptically, and put into jail for far longer time than some of their white counterparts. Number two, the police problem in America has to be addressed. And that means that, you know, whether we're talking about defunding or reforming, either one. However we look at it, we have to
How can you have one without the... In other words, how can you reform police departments if you're simply cutting off their money?
No. Defunding the police means you're reassigning monies to other departments, not totally starving them. L.A. reassigned $150 million. There's plenty of dough left for police departments, which are often exempt from budget cuts, both on the local and the federal level. So ain't no crying from police departments with police unions that reinforce the status of these police and powerfully exempt them from some of the more useful reforms that might be achieved. The reason reform the police can't work in many instances is because police unions are so powerful that they defer it. And so therefore,
okay, do you agree with the proposition that the high rate of crime victimhood is one of the most prominent and devastating problems in the African-American community right now?
There is no question about that. You know, when we talk about 93% of black people who die at the hands of black people. 84% of white people who die at the hands of white people. People kill and die where they live. So it's better seen not in racial or ethnic terms, but in neighborhood terms. Neighbor-to-neighbor carnage is wrong wherever and whenever it occurs.
The Amen.
In African-American communities is real, and in white communities as well. But we have a notion of black-on-black crime. We have no such rhetoric for white-on-white crime. That is more than a nomenclature problem. That's more than a linguistic change, a sleight of hand verbally. That's about an ideology and about an orientation we don't have time to deal with. But I'm saying, yes, it bothers me. But here's the problem, that black people, when they kill black people, if they get caught, they usually go to jail. Many police people who continue to kill, otherwise hurt and harm black people, are not held to account, and they represent the state, and they have the official imprimatur of the state behind them. That is a devastating problem that has to be addressed.
I think that all people of goodwill agree with you on that. I do, because it is very, very different when a life is taken by a thug who is outside of the bounds of legal society, and when it is actually done in the name of that society by someone in authority. And I know that most police officers, white and black, take the challenge very seriously. Anyone who takes a look at Michael's book will take the challenge more seriously. The book by Michael Eric Dyson, Reckoning with Race in America, it's up at our website at michaelmedved.com. Do you have a new project that you're working on?
Yeah, man, I'm working on a new book, a kind of collection of sermons and essays and eulogies that I've delivered, you know, kind of get those into shape and get those out sometime next year.
Well, I look forward to it, and I wish you and your family all the blessings for a season and for a better year for our country. I think that the year 2020, it's one of those things where we won't miss it. There are elements of it, of course, but one of the elements is my ability to speak with Michael Eric Dyson on the air. Wishing him and all members of this society the very, very greatest for a new year for this greatest nation on God's green earth.
When you invest, what do you need? Investors need foresight and prediction so they can invest with confidence. Is the stock market going up and down? What about precious metals or Bitcoin? The stock market may be treading water right now, but now may be a more opportune time to invest in precious metals. Are gold and silver booming? What do you buy? Bullion? Mining stocks? Which ones? The cryptocurrency market is also advancing strongly, but which ones do you buy? John Truman Wolf, former banker and number one best-selling author, gives you the answers in his widely read newsletter, Strategic Financial Intelligence, available at strategicfinancialintelligence.com. Wolf called the breakout of the gold market and the breakout of the silver market. He may not have a crystal ball, but his investment picks tell a story. Metals and digital currencies are on the move. Don't miss out. Go to strategicfinancialintelligence.com and get the Strategic Financial Intelligence newsletter today. strategicfinancialintelligence.com.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.